Hello, greetings. We are being our very formal, serious selves today because we are sat in a boardroom. This is a boardroom where Anna and me are sat at a massive table with loads of empty chairs, and we'll explain why later in the episode. No, you have not tuned into The Apprentice with Anna and Claire. Could you imagine?
We'd be sat the first time in.
Dragon's Den with Anna and Claire. No, we are here to talk about psychology, changing your mindset, getting to know yourself. It is a topic that we love to kind of delve into. It has been a big, in Anna's word, game changer for helping us kind of lose the weight and keep the weight off. So we're going to get into a bit about that and some things to think about. But in the meantime, we have two incredible stories of messages that were left in our inbox. Let's have a listen.
Good day, Slimming World podcast listeners. You've been cheering me up with all of your lovely messages. It's such a joy to hear how well you're doing. Here's who's winning this week.
Hi Anna and Claire, I'm Natalie and I attend Alison's group at Cookgate Baptist Church on a Saturday morning. Over the last 8 months I've lost over 4 stone. I've had to buy a new wardrobe, which is fantastic. I've absolutely loved joining Slimming World. I feel that group is just such a special place to be. The non-scale victories that I have experienced have just been phenomenal. I've managed to walk 10,000 steps a day minimum over the last 90 days. I've recently started weight training, which I absolutely love. My health and fitness are just so much better than they were when I was 4 stone heavier. I feel like I can do so much more. And my overall mental health has just improved so vastly. I'm loving it. Thank you both. And I'll speak to you soon. Bye.
Hey. My name is Charlie and I go to the amazing Tina's group over in Shirley. So throughout my 4.5 years of being a member, I've had quite a lot of milestones and like non-scale victories. I was actually going through a divorce just before I joined, and one of my goals was to get my wedding ring off naturally without the embarrassment of having to get it cut off. Also because I wanted to sell it. So a few stone down, I managed to do that. So that was a big moment. Right up until now, throughout my journey, tomorrow I'm actually going to be living one of my childhood dreams and squeezing myself into a wetsuit, and I'm going to be diving with sharks. So yeah, I've always wanted to do it and I've finally got the confidence and I am so excited. It's going to be amazing. So yeah, no dream is too big or too small. So yes, just go for it. Have a great week. Bye.
Thank you so much to Natalie and Charlie. And I mean, I hope that everything has gone okay, Charlie, with swimming with sharks. Yes. And that you have lived to tell the tale. And I mean, I think what I really got from both of these messages was just that idea about doing things that they never imagined themselves to be doing. The idea that they pushed themselves out of their comfort zone. They empowered themselves to kind of, you know, build these new habits and then just see where their new self took them.
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? It's kind of that vision of hope. Like, actually, if you don't like where you are today, you can change it and be a different person in 6 months' time.
Yeah.
It's exciting, the prospect that we all have in our hands to change, and to change to become happier, to enjoy things more, to change our mindsets. I love that.
So if you're here to kind of get a taste of that and you're looking for ways to kind of muddle your way through, maybe you're a bit stuck and you're needing a little bit of a boost, then this could be the episode for you. I'm Claire, this is Anna, we do Slim and World podcast. We've been doing this rodeo for over 4 years and somehow we always seem to come back to this subject about mindset. There are many tools that Slimming World offers. It's not just another diet plan, you know, that tells you what to eat and when. Actually, a big kind of part of the Slimming World plan is around the idea of support. Image therapy, it's called, where you stay to group and people discuss, like, you know, some of the things that are kind of tripping them up, hurdles that maybe they're facing. And this idea about kind of getting to know ourselves, becoming an expert in ourselves, I think is It's kind of an interesting phase that maybe people, when they kind of set out to lose weight, it's not something that is at the first kind of thought in their mind.
Yeah, I love seeing this transition of people who've come in thinking it's just going to be about, I'm going to change what I eat. And 6 months, 12 months down the line, they're a different person. They've made real massive strides in their mindset, the way they think, the way they talk, the way they have different habits in their life. It's a fascinating thing to see that for so many of us, our weight is locked within our mind. It's not the physical kind of thing is our body, and maybe that we're overweight, but actually the root of the issue is in our heads. And once you kind of delve into your head and you learn to get to know yourself, it's so empowering. And image therapy in group is so powerful because you see getting people to think for themselves, to think about what could stop them, to think about what changes they could make. It's so exciting and empowering to see people go, ah, that's what I need to do. And if I do it, I'll get X, Y, and Z. So yeah, change in your behavior is quite a scary thing at first. I know it was for me, but actually, as you see how your behavior changes and the outcome is what you wanted, was health, was weighing less, was being more active, it can empower you to keep making those changes, can't it?
See, the thing is, I picked like the boardroom for us to do this episode in, because I was thinking back to I had therapy a number of years ago, and one of the scenarios we played was to be sat at a table, and every seat of the table was different versions of yourself.
Oh wow.
And well, it is and it isn't, because you know there's like, say, the tired Claire who's come home from later work and she needs something to eat but she's not really sure what to cook. There's the Claire who's planned, she's got all the food in, she's got everything sorted. There's the Claire who's just come back from doing a park run, she's buzzing, she's been out with her mates. There's the Claire who had a really bad night's sleep and has now got to get up really early and go to work, and she's not got any food to take with her. Right. She doesn't know what she's going to eat and when she's going to eat it. There's the Claire that's stepped on the scale and then she's had a gain, it was unexpected. There's the Claire that, you know,
a lot of Claires in it.
As you know, but it's kind of breaking it down and thinking about all of these different kind of aspects and like, you know, moments that we have, and almost like switching that. If you then removed the millions of Claires and you put members who inspire you in your group to sit at all these chairs and you present an issue on the agenda, what would all these people who you find as inspiration say to you to help you move through that? So I think you talk a lot about visualization, but sometimes I try and think about you know, a problem that I'm facing from different ways. And the boardroom idea and the table and the chairs is just a way of kind of bringing that to fruition.
I think it's understanding that your perspective on your current situation isn't the only perspective, and we can get really stuck like, actually the place I'm in right now is the place I'm in and I can't budge from it, but actually with some help and support and thinking a different way, you can really forge through it.
I was reading a book before Christmas. It was talking about reframing, and one of the things it talked about that really stuck out for me was, look at your situation and look at it from six different perspectives. I don't know what was with the number six, but thought that was quite a manageable number. 10 was too much. Three wasn't enough, but six was kind of somewhere all right.
Optimum.
Like I think that's quite an interesting, like, okay, maybe I've hit a plateau. Let's look at that from six different points. I want to start body magic, but I'm not sure how. It's presenting these different challenges.
So you get an all-rounded view.
I want to shake up my breakfast. What could I do?
Yeah, six different options. And someone said to me a few weeks ago, I've had a bit of a spell with my health and stuff, and said, oh, you're so unlucky. I said, do you know what? I'm going to tell it in his head. I said, I'm not unlucky. I've had a really rough time, but I've got through it. And I think it is that perspective. You can look at it as either a good thing or a bad thing. And the way that I've tried to help my mental health and my weight loss is to try, and it's not always easy, is to say, okay, this isn't where I want to be, or this needs changing, but what can I do that's going to make that positive for me? Because I had the tendency before I decided to make some real change to have quite a negative mental inner script that was always, oh, woe is me. And now I am supremely positive. That's the person I try to be. But I've had to practice that chat that goes on in my head. And it is a daily battle sometimes. Some days, as we both know, we struggle with anxiety and depression. Some days you wake up and you're like, yes, this is brilliant. And other days you think, I want to lie under my duvet and I don't want to talk to anyone. So it is something you have to practice. It is something that you have to catch yourself doing, because actually there may be things that you're saying or doing that you know, subconsciously are holding you back. I talked to my members the other day about actually that notion. I said to them all, next January, you're all going to be at Target. And half of them were like, yes, we're going to be at Target, can't wait. And I could see the other half of the room was like, no, I can't. I don't believe that's going to happen. And you could see the mindsets of these people were totally different. One lot of people were thinking about all the things that would stop them, and the other lot were thinking about all the things that was going to get them there. So it's catching yourself, isn't it, and saying, actually, is what I'm doing in my mind right now getting me closer to that person I want to be? Because sometimes it's taking you further away, isn't it? You know, like you're saying about when you've got on the scales and you've had a gain that you don't deserve. I used to get really angry. Really angry. And I don't know who I was angry with. I was angry at Slimming World. I was angry at scales. I was angry at my consultant. I was angry at the room. You know, I was angry at my bra. It was too heavy. And then you realise, actually, I realised the anger was fear going, you're angry because the scales haven't changed today. And that means you're still another 4 stone away from where you want to be. And you want to be there now. So you're getting angry because you're scared. You don't think it's going to happen. But it was catching how that behaviour then filtered through. The anger would take me to a fast food restaurant. The anger would then make me sabotage. So as soon as I got rid of the anger, I was able to go, actually, what I need to do today is make a better plan. So it's understanding yourself, isn't it? Because you and I have been on such a journey with our minds, and our minds have been our very best friends, but also our worst enemies at times, haven't they?
Yeah, you're right, because there can be like parts where you kind of, I think you can sometimes think about losing weight as, well, what am I having to give up?
Yes,
and the sacrifice, yeah. And actually, I think the idea of this phrase, changing your mindset, can also be like, well, what am I gaining as a result of making these changes? And that is, I suppose, it's just a bit more of an empowering way to think about it. We've often talked about like the wider report card rather than just numbers on scales, you know, finding the ways that you can kind of look, celebrate non-scale victories, like body magic, for instance, might not always kind of be slightly on plan or having a great time with the scales. But if I know that I can look at myself in the mirror and say, but you did go to all the gym classes that you booked on, you didn't cancel, you know, you got there and you turned up and you moved, that for me is a victory, yeah. Despite that maybe the scales didn't say the number that I wanted. So that idea for me around, you know, looking at the whole aspect and staying pretty positive. I think watching your language, we've also talked about that in previous episodes, and staying pretty positive. But, you know, the fact that you that nobody is saying to you that you cannot live the life that you want to live, that you're going to have to never go out, that you're never going to be able to eat cake, never eat chocolate, not have chips, you're going to have to go to the gym 7 times a week, you know, you're going to have to eat a lettuce every night for your tea. That's nowhere in any of the messaging, I think, in this plan, which no. I was shocked at.
So I just turned 42 last month, and I have been...
She doesn't look it, but no,
I'm full of Botox. I have lived over half my life food optimising. I've got married food optimising. I've travelled the world food optimising. I've had a baby food optimising. I have lost my dad. I have lived my, you know, my 20s and 30s food optimising. I've had an amazing life. There was nothing I sacrificed. I just decided I wanted to make different choices. Have I still gone out and partied? Have I still drunk? Have I still eaten cake? Yes, I have. But I've just had to modify the way I had to do it. So it really excited me to think, actually, you've lived your life doing this and that's okay. It hasn't been scary or upsetting or horrible. I've had a lovely time doing it. And I think the notion for a lot of people when they start looking at doing something is, again, that thing of, I can't do what I want. I can't fit it in my lifestyle. It won't work for me. And it's knowing, well, actually, it can. There's probably just some tweaks, aren't there? Like you and I think, I hope you don't mind saying, are at the happiest points in our life that we've ever been at. I am. I don't know if you'd say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I would say. And I'm finding a quieter peace.
Yeah. And are we food optimizing? Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because some point people might look at like the idea of, you know, following Slimming World plan, like, and fair being life. Food optimizing for life is like, oh, I don't know, a punishment.
Again.
But again, I suppose it's food optimizing versus I am on a diet. They're two different phrases.
I think the whole thing for me is I haven't, A, been losing weight that whole time. I've been maintaining weight loss. Is that I've chosen to do that. So for me, the biggest choice was I want to live a lifestyle that's healthy, and I want to lose a lifestyle where I can maintain the weight that I've lost. And food optimizing is that lifestyle I lead. Like, I've been food optimizing that long, I don't even think about it. It's just what I do. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd never buy a loaf of white bread. I'd always buy the homemade one. I wouldn't buy butter. I would buy a lighter spread. Do you know what I mean? I'd always buy the semi-skim milk and measure it. That's just a habit. Do you know what I mean? Like, I brush my teeth twice a day. That's a habit. Do you know what I mean? And it's a really lovely habit because it's a healthy habit that I've got. I think the moment fear comes in is you think you're going to be on a diet for your life. I couldn't be on a diet for my life. I couldn't be on a diet for more than about 10 minutes, if I'm honest. Yeah. So again, it's that perception and it's that mindset thing of how do I feel? How can I switch that word kind of sacrifice almost into what I'm gaining? Because actually, for all the chocolate I've given up, for all the packets of crisps I've given up and the fast food, I've gained so much more. I've gained health. I've gained a waistline. I've gained confidence. I feel sexy. Those things I didn't have before.
Yeah. See, the thing, I suppose there could be people saying, right, okay, I'm game. I want to feel like this. Talk to me about the practicalities of how do I do this? And I suppose the biggest thing for me is tapping in and using the online, the digital aspect of the membership.
Yeah,
you know, you've got, obviously, your group, which will help with the image therapy and support. You can kind of say, I need some ideas for lunches, or I'm going out to this restaurant and people might know it locally, and help you kind of look at that menu through fresh eyes. But even when you're not a group and you need that support 24/7, you've got things like,
there's
quizzes, there's you know, all kinds of things on the online membership. There's all the back catalogues of the podcast, including all the members only podcasts.
There's the magazine, there's all the features, the recipes. You know, as a consultant, my group doesn't just finish and then I don't see my members till the next week. You know, we've got all the support. They've got my details. They've got each other. But image therapy almost is so powerful because I think a lot of people just think it's just coming and getting a recipe idea and going. For some people, it's a celebration of their success. For other people, it's a really in-depth look at what habit changes they need to make and getting them a plan. But I think, you know, things like your activity videos that you get as part of the plan, all that kind of next levels and layers of support is a massive, massive kind of asset, isn't it, to your success? And all the online members, all the support and services they get, I think it's just different layers, isn't it? Layers of duvets on top of you to help you succeed and cushion it. I love a good duvet.
I've got two on my bed at the moment.
Just call Margaret now. Margaret, we've got a new piece of copy. We're just going to release a press release that says, Slimming World, the duvets upon duvets that you need in your life. I get what you mean. It's about layering up, because I think sometimes we've kind of gone through and kind of had willpower and we've hoped and we've had a single tog like duvet.
And
actually, with the warmth and the comfort of having like group members, your consultants, you know, the online resources, your tribe, absolutely, who understand, you don't feel alone, who will help you muddle through some of these like kind of bumps that you probably will inevitably hit when you go through a weight loss kind of journey. I think it just kind of just gives you that extra support. And, you know, we kind of talk about this thing around like understanding triggers. And I think that one of the most handy tools that I had within the pack was talking about your trigger foods, your danger zones, and how to kind of manage those. So if you are a member, do go and absorb as much information as you can, because this idea about getting to know yourself, I think, will then allow you to kind of approach situations that maybe have caught you out before with a fresh perspective. I would say, like, I would like to point to, I think it is on which book? The Butterfly Book, as Anna calls it.
The Discover Your Freedom at Your Slimming World Group.
That's the official one, yeah?
Yeah.
Page 4, as which we've talked about in podcasts before, it's worth rereading this. If you if you're someone who likes to read information as well as listen, there's something called Rewrite Your Inner Script, which is a couple of pages. It talks about being happy in your mind, your body and your soul. And it's an article which has been adapted from the Slimmer World magazine, which was written by Margaret, the founder of Slimming World. And in it, there's a quote here, which I thought is quite interesting. Our role here in your Slimming World group is to help you on an individual, highly personal level to release yourself from the burden of the past and watch your slimming dreams turn into reality, helping you peel back the layers and cover your own solutions and take control over your personal approach to food and activity forever. Wow. So, you know, there's a lot of kind of like positive language, and I can understand sometimes why people might be like, what is this possible? Can I really do this? But, you know, I would encourage you to kind of explore how these tools, these psychological tools, can support you. It, you know, it's more than food. If you truly want to lose weight and keep it off, it's more than just about the food that you eat.
100%. I mean, I'm a different person now to when I started food optimizing. It changed my life, but not just the food optimizing, the whole thing that it encompassed. And you know, that then transitions into the rest of my life. I think the things I learned through food optimizing, being part of a group, really helped me to make decisions and choices in other areas too.
Yeah, see, it says here, give yourself a much better chance to achieve deep and long lifelong happiness. Let go of the things that are holding you back. It's all to do with what you believe about yourself, your life script, those things you say to yourself, that secret story about yourself that you've created and that plays over and over again in your mind. It's things you decided about yourself at some point in your life, sometimes when you were much younger, sometimes even as far back as your early childhood. And that exploration, I think, about why do you eat, when you eat, what you eat, those kind of things that fit you in your personal shaping of how you've come to be the person you are today, cracking that and looking what's happening in your world, you will start opening up. It's like, I don't know, you're back on the Game Boy of like the 1980s and you've got to level 39 120 times, but suddenly you reach level 40 for the first time.
And you, oh, it's an amazing feeling, isn't it?
That's a weird analogy.
But I totally get it. I was telling my group the other day, like, I'd created this whole thought process about myself. I was big boned. I was from an overweight family. I didn't like activity. It was my genes and all of this stuff. I was like, that's a load of nonsense. But I'd done it to make myself feel better. And the moment I kind of dropped the fact that, you know, I was big boned, because I weighed my have my skeleton weighed and it's not big at all. And the moment I kind of said, this is happening to me, and I said, no, I can choose to change it, it's quite an empowering feeling.
Yeah.
I'm going to my duvet.
Single tog or several tog?
Mine's a 13 tog with a 4 tog underneath.
Oh, see, I'm controversial. I just keep one winter tog duvet all year round.
You don't? In summer?
Yeah.
You're going to be sweating your barnacles off.
I wonder where that was going then.
Barnacles.
Family friendly.
Oh my gosh.
No, but I live in a Victorian terraced house that's freezing cold all year round.
Yeah, but still in the height of summer.
On the hottest day of summer last year, it still only got to a balmy temperature of 18 degrees Celsius.
I need some votes, people. Can you drop into our inbox on Instagram if you double tog, you triple tog, what are we doing? I'm going bed socks, a hoodie, tracksuit bottoms, a hat. I'm in a new build house, but I still like warmth.
Well, anyway, this isn't a podcast about duvets.
No,
we don't do duvets here, or whatever the phrase is. That people will know. People will know what that phrase is referenced. Do duvets. Anyway, we'll shut up now. We'll have a great week. Hope you have a great week. See you very, very soon. And that's it. That's life. The worst sign up of a podcast ever.
Goodbye.